Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. Ah! I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super Mamas!
Hi, Super Mamas. This is Bricia. And this week in the podcast, we have our dear, dear friend, Wendy Carrillo, our first ever Super Mamacita guest on the show. She's running for Congress, and we invited her in to talk about her journey, her career, her life. We had such a great time talking to her. You are going to love this episode. We talk about so many things about life, about serendipity, about just her journey as a daughter, her journey on how she got to be here. You're going to love her, and we hope you guys enjoy the show.
How are you, sister?
I'm doing well. Well, actually, it was a rough morning. How was it for you with the time change?
It was great.
Seamless?
Actually, it's better for me because now he wakes up later. Usually, he wakes up at 6:30, but now it's 7:30.
Right.
So, no. Actually gives me a whole hour of quietness in my house.
Like, it was
crazy. So, I'm all about it. Like, I was like, hell yes.
Yeah. So, I'm like, it was like I never changed, right? At 6, I woke up.
Uh-huh.
But Krista just, it was tough. It was tough waking up. Oh, I don't want to. And like, I had to like really be behind her. And usually like what I do is like, I leave her clothes and I go take a shower and then I come out and she's changed. And then I came back and she was still sleeping.
Yeah, it's different because yours is older. So you have to wake her up like at a certain time because she goes to kindergarten.
Yeah.
So I could see how for moms who have children who have to go to school and have to get up at a certain time and have to go in at a certain time, it's weird. But for me, the baby wakes up whenever he wakes up.
Yeah, that's true.
So for him, his usually wake up time is anywhere between 6 and 6:30. So the fact that he woke up today at like 7:15-ish was like, hell yes. Hell yes. I have like an extra like hour of quietness where, you know, we can just kind of get like way ahead of him. Yeah. So it was great.
There was a lot of silent anger for my husband this morning because he wakes up to go work out and then he comes back and they're ready to go to school. Mm-hmm. And like, everything's ready. And this time he came back and they were still getting ready and he was like, it's late. And he was trying to help me out and it was like a lot of anger, you know, silent anger.
He was trying to help you out with like banging the dishes.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, they're ready.
I don't like a lot of those. I wanted to share with you my super mama moment of last week.
What happened? Tell me.
As you guys know, our children go to daycare / preschool / school, or how we call it. So we have, and if any of you guys ladies have your children in preschool or daycare, whatever, they always have these community days, like work days for parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have missed every single one of them, okay? I am that mom. So this time, I was confident and I was like really like, okay, I'm going to go to this work day. Like, I'm going to make it a point. I put it in my calendar like weeks in advance to make sure I was there and showed up for my son and be like that, like good mom, you know?
Yeah.
Like, be like, all right, like I'm here. I show up and it's empty.
What?
And I show up with my food too because like, I know, pot, like,
I remember,
after.
Yeah.
So like I made sure like I took like vegetarian ones and you know like little burritos like handmade. Like I was like so proud. I knew all the kids were gonna like it. And I show up and I was like, Lady Morgan, like, wasn't today work day? And she was like, no, Brisa, it's next week. God.
Sorry, I won't be able to make it.
I'm like, I can't come next Friday. And she was like, oh, it's okay. We'll count your hours for today. I was like, it's not about that. It's not about that.
The parents are like, oh, there she is, missing that. Yeah. Missing like, it again.
They'd be like, oh, Brisa is not here again. I was there last week.
Oh, with, my God. Like, that is food. So funny. Was your husband there, too?
No. Oh, it was just you? No, it was just me. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
He would have been a little mad.
He would have been like, what the?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Well, you know, I do have to confess, I was better at that with Krista. With Sabina, I missed my volunteer day last week because I was in Sacramento. So I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it. And now, like, they ran out of days of volunteering. So I haven't volunteered. I feel kind of guilty about that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, I'm just a bad mother now.
What about, I mean, I'm telling you, I feel like such a champion mom.
I saw you. I was like, I was proud of you. Yes. For going. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's actually going like, go to go to volunteer day. I'm ready to go
work. I was like, I'm ready to go work day and garden or whatever, you know, show my child I'm part of the community.
Yeah.
But I was able to see him like do his snack time with his friend at school. Aww. Like I stayed with him at school and it was such a beautiful time.
The kids ate the burrito that you made.
It was only him and another kid. So they each ate like two little burritos, you know. So I'm like, great, 4 out of 20 were eaten. So, but you know, I really enjoyed that time that I spent with him at school. So
it's cute.
I think the purpose, I think it was fulfilled for mm-hmm. him to feel happy and felt like mommy was there. And you know, like they say grace before they eat. Yeah. So to see him like sing and, you know, the whole thing, I was like, oh, it's nice. Like,
I know.
I should do this more often.
Let me put it on my calendar months ahead.
Let me see when else I can come, honey.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's so cute. It's because when you see them in that environment, it, sometimes I get a
super mama moment.
So I get to Sabina's school and I don't let her know that I'm there right away. And I just see her do whatever she does. And it's so cute to see them interact with each other. Because at least with Sabina, once she sees me, it's over. Yeah, you know? But I love seeing her through the window for like a few minutes and just to see how she...
But they're actually human beings.
I know. They're so cute.
They're actual little people. Well, today we have a great show for you ladies. We have Wendy Carrillo, one of our dearest she's been a friend of the family for years. I know. We even parted in Oaxaca together. Hey,
that's what I was telling her. My wedding, one of my favorite pictures in my wedding, she's in the background.
So Wendy's not a mom.
She's not.
But she's a mamacita. And she's a great friend of mine. And I know last time we had like a political episode, we said we weren't going to talk about politics anymore. But she's running for Congress. And mm-hmm. I couldn't help but to have her on the show and talk about her journey, her love for public service. And, you know,
to teach us a little bit about that, because I didn't really understand a lot of things.
Yeah, we didn't get too political.
No.
It was more about like sometimes we don't even know what Congress does.
Yeah.
Like you're running for Congress. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, and just to be able to have her on the show and give her a platform for her to speak was incredible. So without further ado, here is your interview with Wendy Carrillo. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
How many hours did you sleep last night?
I think 4.5.
Oh, wow.
Is that like normal nowadays for you?
I try to, I really believe in what Arianna Huffington says, sleep your way to the top. And that means that means like get your rest, girl. Yeah. Like get your sleep.
I need to read her book, by the way. Mm,
yeah. Well, the short version that she has on her website, like the ones that you can just look at as like...
The Cliff Notes.
That's what I took away. Sleep your way to the top. But in meaning like be best friends with your bed and get sleep, because it's so important when you are just hustling every day.
Yeah, that's very important.
Amen, sister. Thank you for being here. I'm so happy to have you here. You're like officially your first non-mom guest, but you're mamacita, so we figured like why not. And I also think that a lot of moms out there are hoping their child turns out like you. So it's like, how did your mom raise you? What kind of relationship do you have with your mom? Do you have any tips for us moms on how to raise children?
Coming from... Yeah, well, I'm the oldest of five. So I think that counts for something. So I have four younger sisters, all girls.
Five girls?
Five girls.
Wow. That's a whole lot of shoes. Yeah.
When my dad was young, he was stopped by a shaman man coming from Mexico to the U.S. And he was told, you're going to have a lot of women in your life that love you forever. He's like, yeah.
He was like, yeah, I'm a bad player.
He's like, hell no. Yes. And then he met my mom. And that was it. So five girls later.
Oh, wow. Five girls.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Okay. How was that growing up? Tell me.
So
how far are you guys apart?
So my younger sister and I are closest. We're 4.5 years apart. And then my other sisters are twins. We're 10 years apart. And then my baby sister, we're 11 years apart. Mm. Okay. So my Beatriz, who follows me, we grew up for a long time. It was just her and I. So we're best friends. And then my other little sisters were born. So we went from like being like two daughters, right? And having all the toys to you know, now a bigger family, and my parents like trying to figure out, like, you know, how they were gonna raise five girls in a two-bedroom apartment in East LA.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
well, you know, good thing is like they didn't have to buy, I'm sure, like a lot of clothes, because like it was a lot of hand-me-downs. Mm-hmm. Which is great, awesome. I love hand-me-downs. With, well, my girls.
When you're a little kid, you kind of don't.
Yeah, but
I
as a
never
parent.
Had to worry about it. But
how old were you when you came to the U.S.?
I was five. Mm. I was five when I came to the U.S. from El Salvador, and you know, during that time, the country was in a civil war, and so, like many children that flee violence and are fleeing violence now, mm-hmm. We came undocumented, like without status. And I didn't know any of this until I was 13.
Until you were 13, you didn't know you didn't have papers?
No, I didn't. So looking back and how my mom, you know, was, you know, how worried she would always be.
Right.
I can totally understand that. But when, you know, when you're 8 years old and you're trying to go camping, you know, yeah. with your class. And
trying
your
to go to Rosarito.
Right. Like, yeah, you... you know, I recognize like all of her struggles and sacrifices. And she was in her early 20s when she came to the U.S. So imagine what you were doing.
With a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old at the time, right?
No, just me. It was just me. It was just me. But she came by herself and she left me with my grandmother and my tia so that she can come and just kind of see what it would be like and get some money together so that she could bring us over. So she came by herself. And imagine what you were doing when you were like in your early 20s, when you're 22, 23 years old and you're
drinking,
going, you know, and you're going. And here's like so many women, my mother was trying to just figure out life and how to survive for herself, yeah. for her mom, for her sister, and for her baby girl.
Oh, wow.
That's a super mama.
That is.
Yeah.
I want to kind of move forward now to where you are running for Congress.
Woo woo!
Yeah,
that you used to. So, and like now, I'm running for Congress,
and now I'm running for Congress.
You had your own radio station. You were producing a show, mm-hmm. And Power 106, Knowledge is Power, for so many years. So
10
I know,
years.
That's so funny because I used to like listen to it. I had no idea like that I was gonna eventually meet you, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh my god! And then when I met you, and I was like, oh damn. That's Wanda Carrillo over there.
You're like, she's down.
She's down.
Yeah. I can't believe that's 10 years.
How did you get started with Knowledge is Power?
So I went to Cal State LA. And this was 2005 when I graduated. And I couldn't get a job. You know, even then, the market was like really bad. And I ended up, a friend of mine was like doing a radio show at KPFK called Soul Rebel Radio. And she's like, we need more mujeres and women of color to like come and do stories and tell stories. I was like, okay, I'll go try it out. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything.
What did you study?
I studied rhetorical communications. So it's like persuasive speech.
Mm-hmm. Ah, pues con razón. Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had gotten a job at an animation company, which I love. That's like a second passion. But I was really interested in like, oh, how does radio work? And so I went and I started doing it. And the first interview that I ever booked was Dolores Huerta.
Oh, what?
I literally like called her office and was like, hey, I want to interview Dolores. Because she's an icon, right?
Yeah.
I had read about her and learned about her. And I knew that she was in LA and like coming in and out. I said, well, let me just give it a shot. And so with the help of a friend, we got her to come into the studio and do like an hour-long session with me. And I've never met her. Just like, okay. So I was like, hey, I'm kind of pretty good at this.
I'm kind of.
So within a few months, a mentor of mine, Yasmin Davids, who was at the time had a show on Univision Radio, said, hey, you should consider, you know, doing something for Power 106. It's like the audience, it's you love hip hop, you love music, you love politics, and we need more engagement. We need more young people to care about politics. And I was like, okay. So I put together what's called a demo. You know, it's just like a quick conversation about what your show would sound like. Sent it in, got a call back, and it took about a year in in conversation with me and the vice president of programming, Jimmy Steele, who became a really great mentor to me. And is also really excited that I'm running for Congress. And, you know, it took about a year for us to, like, formulate what the show would sound like and be like and all that stuff. And then finally offered me the gig to not only host it but produce it for Power 106, but for an all-women station, Move in 93.9, which was hosted by Rick Dees in the mornings. So I produced two shows. And, you know, Move in was for about 5-6 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
And then 10 with Power.
Wow.
Yeah. And so after 10 years, my show came to a close this past April, and I was going to try to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I was also working at Reportedly, which was a social news startup that I helped co-found with some amazing journalists from around the world. And that came to a close in August. And then a consulting gig that I had with Univision and Flama came to a close. All of these things closed, like ended. And in August, I was like, what am I going to do with my life?
How did you feel at that moment when you were looking back and you're like, all these things have closed?
Yeah, you know, you can't help but feel like maybe you've done something wrong in your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like maybe like, what's wrong with me? Like, why aren't things working out? Like, why is it so hard and challenging? And I realized that that actually is like a lot of our generation. Like, we're growing up in an economy and in a place in which we don't hold traditional jobs anymore. Like, mm-hmm. you don't go and work into a company for like 30 years and then retire. Like, it's impossible.
Right.
So there's a lot of jumping around. And media in the past few years has been like really crazy. Just things opening and shutting down and jobs like being recirculated and newsrooms having smaller staff and all of these things. And so, you know, you can't help but feel like maybe you're doing something wrong. But for me, this was also an opportunity of like, I'm privileged enough that I can have some time off. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to take advantage of that and travel the country. So I rented a little car with my dog and we took off. And this was during the general election.
What made you do the country? Because I know you love to travel. Yeah. We've traveled before.
Yeah.
Why the U.S.? Why not say like I'm heading? Because a lot of people, maybe just in our generation too, we have that like I'm going to Europe mm-hmm. or I'm just going to go down South America. Or, you know, like yeah. why did you choose to travel the U.S.?
Quite honestly, it was because of Trump. It okay. was because I kept...
So something good came out of that guy.
Yeah. It was like I don't understand how the country would feel a certain way about a man who was at the time campaigning on the backs of immigrants and Mexicans and Muslims and black folks and LGBTQ people and every minority you can possibly think of.
Yeah.
And people were rallying against, you know, for him, mm-hmm. for him and against him. But I just had this feeling, having been involved in politics for so long, that he was going to win. I just had this feeling like in LA, we live in a bubble.
We
like,
do. Mm-hmm.
This bubble of progressives and Democrats and everything's great in the world.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. And the reality is that it's not.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. most of the country is red, right? Republican. And for whatever that means or whatever that looks like. And so I purposely wanted to go and talk to people. So I left LA and I drove across the country all the way to New Orleans. So passing through Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, which was like forever until I finally reached Louisiana. And all I saw along the way were Trump signs. I did wow. not see one, not one Hillary Clinton sign.
Wow.
And it was really telling, like, oh my God. And they say, you know, oh, politics, I mean, signs don't mean anything, but they influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, when all you keep sure. seeing is like a certain thing, it's like, and it was like Trump and like the American flag. And it's, man, when you come from LA and these communities, like that means something to you, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from there, from New Orleans,
And it was just you and your dog, right?
Just me and Lulu. Just me and my little dog, Lulu. And in our little red car. And we drove from New Orleans to Standing Rock. And that's a, like a whole other conversation.
And then that's when you stopped, right? Like you didn't...
I was supposed to keep traveling the country more. Like I really wanted to see like all the different states. And I ended up... I was supposed to be at Standing Rock for about a week and a half. And I ended there. I ended up being there for close to 2 months.
Yeah. How was that experience?
Oh my gosh. I mean, talk about a women-led movement. That is what Standing Rock is. And it's the fight against the North Dakota Access Pipeline, which... was supposed to originally go through Bismarck, which mm-hmm. is the capital of North Dakota, mostly white, and also considered the KKK capital of the country.
Really?
Mm, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh. And there, the residents of Bismarck said, no, we don't want it here because it's going to pollute our water. Mm. So they just rerouted it to to impact the water of a Native American reservation.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
And so that the idea
like
that
disposable beings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because who cares?
Yeah.
Right? So the pipeline is supposed to go under a lake called Lake Oahe, which connects to the Missouri River. And if the pipeline were to leak, which we know pipelines leak, it'll impact the water, not only for the Native American reservation at Standing Rock, but also for the millions of Americans that depend on the Missouri River downstream.
Yeah.
So any, you know, the river is a source of life, right?
Right.
It's water. It's clean. It's a clean water source. And if you like the idea that you would put a pipeline underneath it, like why?
Yeah.
But that is currently that was what the fight was about. And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers stopped it and said, thanks to Obama, to President Obama, finally. Stopped it and said that we're going to do an environmental impact study, which is a hold. Mm-hmm. But the chair of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is appointed by the president. Mm. Mm. So now with Trump in office, the first thing that he said was we're going to restart the pipeline. Not only the Dakota Access Pipeline, but the Keystone Pipeline, which again is this huge pipeline that travels across the country, impacting neighborhoods, communities, water, the environment. Yeah.
So sad.
All those things. And you know,
water,
that
it
whole...
always scares me, man.
Yeah.
Water and it's like this thing where I'm just so like, I mean, not to like get all crazy, but sometimes I lose sleep over it. Like I get like anxiety because I'm like, sometimes I travel to places where I've seen like abundance of water and then now they're dried up. And I'm mm-hmm. like, how long do people think we're going to have water for?
And you know, there's blockbuster movies about a future in which we don't have water, like Mad Max, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Where we see, oh, that's so crazy. Like, that'll never happen. But,
oh no, it's happening.
It's happening all over the world now.
It's just because I think we're so used to just opening the faucet and it's just like water is right there that we don't really appreciate it. But like when you go to other countries, like when we go to Mexico, for example, in Oaxaca, which the water is so scarce, it's like, oh, you know, 2 days into the week, you don't have any more water. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, you know, today's Tuesday. The water's supposed to come on Tuesdays. And then, you know what I mean? Like people don't realize how other parts in the world, like how it is just because right here, we're so spoiled and used to it, but it's not going to be forever that things are going to be like this.
You know, what's interesting about water and Standing Rock is that Standing Rock was a movement led by women, by mothers, by elders, by grandmothers, by young women, part of the Indigenous Youth Council, the International Indigenous Youth Council. And water itself is female.
Yeah.
Mm. So water in itself has a female life force.
Really?
Mountains are male.
Huh.
And water is female.
Oh, never knew that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just got chills. When I went to China, because I do love to travel, I went to China. And you know, in Chinese art pieces, there's always the, what I was explained was there's always the both genders in their traditional paintings. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes you see like these beautiful mountainside paintings, right? But there's always a water stream or a waterfall or a river to make sure that the painting is balanced.
Wow, dropping knowledge, Wendy Carrillo.
We're trying.
Okay, so I also want to talk about what happened on your way back from Standing Rock, because when you told me that story, I was like, I wanted to cry. And what led you to run for Congress?
So I was at Standing Rock, and you know, I experienced some of the most beautiful things: prayer, ceremony, communicating with something deep within. But I also saw some really like crazy violence, and that was people being tear gassed and pepper sprayed and water cannoned in 14 degree weather and experiencing hypothermia. I myself was tear gassed because I was helping out one night, part of the medic team, just helping people, and I got too close and it was awful. So when I learned that the congressman that's running, the congressman that represents the 34th district, Javier Becerra, was being appointed to become the next attorney general for the state of California, this is the district where I grew up in, where I live in, where I have a home, where my family is, where I have roots. And I thought, wow, okay, what does this look like? And a friend of mine made a little banner on Facebook that said Carrillo for Congress, and I posted it, but also was like side-eyed emoji because it's like, oh, I bet it's going to be the same group of dudes that are going to run for this seat. And I left it alone. Then went back and got my tent, got all my stuff, and like headed out after being there for close to 2 months and with no reception, nothing, because you're driving through, I was driving through a small snowstorm, just trying to be really careful, no with reception with me and my little dog. And I drove from North Dakota to South Dakota, where I spent the night. And I woke up the following morning at the foot of Mount Rushmore. And I decided to go up the mountain. I was like, I'm just going to go up the mountain. I'm here. I just left like this, the resistance of our time, this moment. I'm going to go up this mountain to see like the faces of these four presidents. Mm-hmm. So I drove up the mountain and I'm, you know, staring at you know, Washington and Lincoln, and I get a call from a friend of mine. Finally, I had reception, and she said, hey, have you seen what's happening on Facebook? I was like, no, what's up? I haven't even checked. So I opened up the Facebook and all of my social, and there was like hundreds of messages from people following that little post saying, you should run, you should do this, like, we're behind you, like, do it, run. And so I'm looking, I'm at Mount Rushmore, and there are two families there. One family is from Honduras, and the other family is from Nicaragua, and they both had little kids with them. And they were showing their little kids that this is their country, those are the presidents. And they were working the chicken farms in Nebraska, and they had taken the day to go to be in this place. And I'm looking around, and I just left this place. Trump had gotten elected at this point. Mm-hmm. Being an immigrant, being formally undocumented, being a woman of color, being Latina, like being having gone through like all the obstacles that you go through in this country to achieve the American dream, and having that and feeling like there is a responsibility to protect and to make sure that we allow for others to have that same opportunity.
Yeah.
I just felt like if not now, when, and if not me, who? And yeah. this was it. And I was like, I'm all in 100%. I don't know what this looks like. I've never run for office. Like, I'm running for Congress. This is crazy. but, you know, these urgent times called for urgent measures, right? And a response. And that's what I felt 100%. So I decided right then and there that I was going to do it, as I stared at the presidents of these United States and, you know, thought about what that would look like. And then later found out that that mountain was a mountain of journey for Native American people, for the Lakota people. And they would go on these pilgrimage on this mountain before it had those faces to find out what their journey in life would be.
Oh, wow.
And what their native name should be. And It seemed like it was all done with intention and purpose.
Right.
That I got an opportunity, one, to travel the country and speak to people, to go to this moment in history that we're living in. Mm-hmm. And then to travel to this mountain and have this question asked. And I had been asking, where is Congress? Why is this happening? What does the future of our country look like? Those were the questions I had, and then I had an answer. And that here's an open seat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
And that I was asked, are you ready? Like, do you want to do this? And all I had to do was say yes.
Wow.
That's amazing. Then everything else just has fallen into place.
I know. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, see, you want to cry. Let's do it again.
Yeah. No, I mean, it almost doesn't seem real, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. Like I lived it. And I'm like, did this really happen to me? Like, I almost feel like if you believe in God, that God tests you, right? Mm-hmm. In different ways. And God said to me, I'm going to take everything you've ever known away, right? You're not going to have any job whatsoever. Take everything that you lived in your comfort zone, take it all away. Then I'm going to put you in a car with your dog, your companion, your little, you know, to keep you safe.
Your little Lulu.
My little Lulu. You're going to get to travel and you're going to talk to people. I'm going to challenge you to do that. And then I'm going to put you in this place where you're going to see a militarized police state and a fight for like profits over people and oil and water and really reconnect with something deep within. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Then I'm going to put you in this special mountain. And then I'm going to have you answer your own question and see if you're ready.
Wow. That's incredible.
Right?
That's amazing. Yeah.
And so I, you know, for me, it's just been like this is not a journey that I'm taking by myself. It is a journey that's, I feel like, empowers the spirit of many ancestors and women that came before me that are just like pushing me along. I do not feel alone in this journey. I feel like it is far beyond myself.
And really, it's a journey of service, because being a public office, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of like shows now that glamorize it, you know, but I mean, being in public office is a position of service. Job, yeah. Like it's not easy, and you're doing it because you want to service people.
And there is a difference, you know, between being a politician and being a public servant. Mm-hmm. And it shows in the way in which we're running our campaign. It shows in the incredible grassroots support that we have of just everyday people.
Right.
Yourselves included, you know, small business owners, entrepreneurs, women, Latinas. And, you know, shout out to like the single moms that have contributed to this mm-hmm. campaign. You know, I had a friend, a couple of girlfriends, but one in particular who said, you know, I'm a single mom of two kids. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going to give you $100 to help you out because I know that you're going to represent me and my children.
Wow. Well, that's great.
You know,
and that's what it should be about, right? Like, you know, people like that really represent where you are, where you're living. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't really happen like that, which is sad.
And I also want to talk about what Congress does. Yeah, like I know a lot of people who only voted for Obama, and then that's the only time they voted. And then they're kind of like, well, and then when they find a candidate that they don't identify with, they don't vote at all. And then, you know, don't even speak about local elections because the people really don't vote then. But I also think that's because people don't understand what each position does and mm-hmm. the importance of it.
Yeah.
So can you school us a little bit more on why is it important that we should vote? Not just for you, but why we should care about for Congress.
Yeah. So Congress is composed of two houses. One is the U.S. Senate, mm-hmm. and every state has two U.S. senators. In California, it's recently elected Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. which is why I'm even running. So Kamala Harris was the attorney general for the state, and she won her Senate seat. And then my congressman, Javier Becerra, was appointed to take over her seat, which vacated his seat. Mm-hmm. So that's like interesting, right? And then the other one is U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein for the state of California. So every state gets two. And the other house is the U.S. House of Representatives. This is your congress member, your congresswoman, congressman. And every state varies depending on their population. And so, you know, before the president signs anything into law, it needs to be passed and approved by Congress, meaning both houses. So the House of Representatives, the Congress members, will write or draft a legislation. Let's say that they draft a legislation, hypothetical, that every Tuesday, the Super Mamas podcast must be listened by everyone. Yes,
right. Are you going to pass that? Are you going to pass that bill?
So, if elected, right? So every Tuesday we must listen to this podcast. Then it passes, right? Then the
House of will.
The members of Congress will pass this bill, and then it goes into the U.S. Senate, and then the U.S. Senate says, "Hell yeah, we're going to pass this bill," and then they signed it, so it's approved by both houses.
Right.
Then it gets to the desk of the president, and then he signs it, and it becomes law. Okay. That's it. The hard part is that we've been in what's called gridlock for so long, and it's like Republicans versus Democrats, that we've forgotten about Americans first. Mm-hmm. So the reason why we don't have immigration reform is because we haven't been able to come to any agreements. So if the U.S. Senate can't come to an agreement, then it never goes to the House of Representatives and vice versa, and then it'll mm-hmm. never go to the desk of the president. So even when we passed, when the country passed the Affordable Care Act, that was like a battle. Like, right. You had to have X amount of U.S. representatives and senators to pass it. And finally, and so it was a huge victory for it to finally land on Obama's desk and for him to sign it and make it into law, which is why members of Congress have wanted to repeal it for so long.
Got it. Does it also work the other way around? Like, let's say something that the president drafts, or no?
So the thing is, like, the president cannot draft law. Got it. It has to go through Congress. Like, those are our checks and balances. But what we've been seeing is that the president can do an executive order.
Yeah.
And so those should be very rare. But with Trump as president, he's just kind of signing them left and right. Totally, like, going, surpassing our checks and balances and not allowing Congress to actually pass law. So that's, I think, a huge difference in what's happening right now. And so he's been signing executive orders, and it's, you know, it's created a sense of just real, like, fear in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, because every day it's something new.
Mm-hmm.
And he's clearly overstepping his own power. And that's, you know, obviously a problem. And so what can we do about it is, like, obviously, like, hold his feet to the fire and keep him accountable and continue to agitate him and continue to organize community, make sure that people know what's going on.
So, well, here's a question. Like, so when he does an executive order, there's nothing that the Congress can do about it?
No, it is the, you know, the that's right crazy. Of the president.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. But, and the thing about Congress is that even though, like, I'm running for a seat in Los Angeles and in California, we impact law that impacts the entire country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so members of Congress get to sit on committees mm-hmm. that make decisions and then ultimately vote on law that impacts all Americans, right. not just Angelenos, not just Californians, but everyone.
Right.
So that is the power of this congressional seat, which is why I'm running, which is why I believe that we need bold, progressive, fearless voices. This is a
young voice.
Young, yeah. You know, just different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You can't continue to talk about immigrants and refugees and undocumented people and women and Muslims and LGBTQ folks and not allow them to have a seat at the table.
Right.
Because this is how laws are changed in this country, because you have different people, and not just, you know, laws in the country, but really, like, haven't you ever been, like, in a meeting and you're, like, the only one that has, like, your perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
you've been the only woman. Maybe you've been the only Latina. Maybe you've been the only mother, right? In a room full of maybe other folks that don't identify. And so you often have to be the voice to say, like, hey, we should think about this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is what political representation is. And that is how we change the system.
So how does Congress look like now?
Mostly men.
OK.
Last year, there were 105 women. Now there's 104.
Oh.
So we've lost a seat, you know, and, you know, it's up to us to change it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And people of color?
Even less, I would imagine. I mean, that's why we have all of these caucuses, right? So you have the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and you have the Native American Caucus, and you have the Black Caucus. But even then, like, there's issues of identity and race. So in New York, for example, the new representative, Representative Espialat, he's Dominican. And so he identifies as being both Latino and Black. And he tried to join the Congressional Black Caucus, and people looked at him side-eyed, like, what? Like, you're Latino. He's like, yeah, but I'm also this. And so even then, like, there's issues of identity. And so I think they're trying to figure it out, right? But we have a long ways to go.
But that's what America looks like now. It's, like, so multicultural. You know what I mean? There's, you know, people fall in love, and then they have mixed children. And now mm-hmm. these mixed children have this new identity. And it's just mm-hmm. like... You're right, like, the Congress has to reflect what the country looks like.
Yeah, I think I read a statistic that said that in our nation's history, there's been about 11,000 members that have served, that have been members of Congress, and only about 12, which have been Latinas.
Oh,
wow, dang. 12
12%
or like 12?
12 people. Like 12. 12 people. Like 10 fingers plus 2.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you're going to change that.
Yeah. And Latinos are the fastest growing demographic in the country.
Yeah.
And women outnumber men. Latinas outnumber Latino men. So, I mean, even if we didn't, we would still.
You know who wears the pantalones
in the Latino family.
And how does your family feel about this? Does your mom must be super proud?
She's both proud, but also very worried.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would imagine. As every other Latino parent.
She used to tell me when I was little that if I wanted to, I could be president of the United States one day. And then I decided to run for Congress, and she's like, ¿Qué estás haciendo? She's like, never mind. And then finally she's like, oh my gosh, you believed me.
Aww. Oh, that's so cool. You just made every mom cry right now.
I did, mom. I believed you. You taught me to be, now I'm going to cry. She's like, you know, my mother taught me to be fearless and unafraid and independent and to never rely on anyone but myself.
How? How did she do that? Tell me, because I need to do that with my own children.
Tough love.
Right? That's what I was saying.
Tough love. Right? You know, she... I remember when I didn't want to learn... So you got to find something that your child loves. I love reading when I was a little girl. So she would limit my TV time to 1 hour every day, like just 1 hour of cartoons. That's it. Everything else you read, do your homework or go do your chores. And so I fell in love with reading. And when I was like in third grade and I was learning the higher end multiplications, right? Like the 12s, like 11, the 12s. She said, I'm not going to buy you a book until you know them by heart. And so I had to learn my multiplications by heart. And it was hard, right? And then I got my book. So it was like reward. But, it just taught me, one, the importance of just believing in myself that I could do it. Mm-hmm. Even though I felt like, I can. It's too hard.
Yeah, nothing was just given to you.
Nothing was just given. Everything was earned.
Which is where privilege comes from.
Yeah, everything was earned. When I wanted to go to camp, she wouldn't just give me the money to go to camp. I was one of those kids that was selling chocolates outside of the school, doing chores so that I could have money. And just being able to say, like, I was able to get this because I worked for it.
Yeah.
Versus just, handed it over to me. And she let me make mistakes. And they were hard lessons, but she let me make mistakes. And I'm sure that as a mom, it hurt her to see me fall off a bike or to, fall off a tree or get cut and bruised, but learn like the value of sacrifice and pain and that not everything was going to be pretty. I think those little lessons like make you who you are, And when I was in high school, she was even more tough. I wanted to go to homecoming and the party started at 8. She wanted to be home by 9.
That's my dad, too.
I was like, Mom.
¿Quieres o no? Take it or leave it. I'm like, okay.
So I got home at 10 and she was very upset.
Yeah, Latino parents, man. Did you ever have sleepovers?
No. Why would I have sleepovers and I have my own bed that I can sleep in?
It's a thing. People are like, it's not such a thing. Sleepovers.
A dormir en una casa ajena.
A la casa de la gente. Que no tienes tu cama.
Right. Right. Yeah. Nope, that would never happen.
That's so
funny.
Gonna
keep that one alive.
I know. Me too.
I bet that happened to you guys too.
Yeah. Until I was like 30. Yeah. Until I got married. Never.
Are you kidding me?
Not even my cousins.
My curfew was like 10 p.m. Yeah. Like on a week. Yeah, no.
I was having a conversation with my girlfriends yesterday, actually, and my best friend reminded me that if she wanted to come see me, she had to come here to the restaurant and see me.
Wow.
Like, she was like, I remember, like, your dad was like, no, if you want to see her, come to the restaurant, and I would go to the restaurant and see you. I was like, oh, you're such a good friend. You actually went to see me at the restaurant.
No, it was tough.
The only time we were able to be home late was because if you closed the restaurant late.
That's exactly what she said.
She's like, we can come and then we can go eat al Taurinos and then go home. That was like our going out time.
Wow.
That we had to close the restaurant. That's the only way we could stay out late.
Yeah.
We closed.
Yeah, ours was also like family gatherings, like with the primos and everybody, like our New Year's and Christmas. It's like, woo, we're going out.
I don't remember like having sleepovers with cousins.
No.
Never.
Never. Well, thanks so much for being here, Wendy. I know you're really, really busy, and election is coming April 4th.
Yeah, April 4th is a special election. So if you live in the communities of, I'll start at the top.
Yes, go.
Eagle Rock, Highland Park, La Salle, Elysian, Cypress, including Dodger Stadium, all of those communities in the Northeast, and then on the East side, City Terrace, El Sereno, Lincoln Heights, Boyle Heights,
oh, wow.
where I live, downtown, most of downtown LA, all of downtown LA, actually, including the Fashion District, Garment District, Flower District, Chinatown, and then going west towards Pico Union, Westlake, mm-hmm. and Koreatown. So if you can imagine the size of this district and how
huge.
How
many people actually vote?
Oh my gosh. There's over 300,000 people that are registered in this district to vote. But sadly, it's been one of the lowest performing voting districts in the county.
Now
because it's been so safe.
Yeah.
But if you are a vote-by-mail voter, you should have already received your ballot, and not to be confused with the March 7th election that just recently happened. But this is a completely new special election for April 4th. The only thing on the ballot is the congressional candidate. So if you're a vote-by-mail voter, I'm number 3, but 30 on your little punch hole. So just fill in 30, send it in, forget about it. And if you wait until April 4th, I'm number 3 on the ballot, and go and go vote and be a part of deciding
who you want your... How can we, everyone listening, what can one person do to help you get that seat that we so need you to have?
You organize. So if you live in the communities that I just mentioned, and you know voters, like for example, like I'm in my family, there are 7 voters, and they tend to look at me like, hey, how should we vote, right? And I say, vote this way for this person and this on a measure, and you know, you can count on 7 votes in my family. Same thing with yours, right? So you have X amount of people in your family, your neighbors. If you live in a building, like organize your building, put it out on social media that this is a special election mm-hmm. for April 4th for these communities. You can go to Wendy Carrillo for Congress on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at Wendy Carrillo. You can join. You can sign up to volunteer. We need to call and talk to as many voters as possible. A lot of people don't even know that this is happening.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And this is a congressional seat. It is a first response to a Trump administration right. that has cared very little about people in this community.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll come back with our Supermama and Supermamacita pick or tip of the week. We'll be right back. Supermama pick or tip of the week. We almost forgot. I was like, we don't need that. Wendy has to go. I'm seriously waiting for your time, okay? Because I know you got a lot of stuff to do.
I gotta go talk to voters.
Yeah, you gotta go knock on doors, girl. You gotta go walk the streets.
Go raise some money, knock on doors.
That's what my sister-in-law told me. She was like, you know, I think Canada's are getting lazy nowadays. They don't go out and walk. You have to go out and walk and talk to everybody.
Yeah. This is a field game. This is going to be won by totally knocking on doors and talking to as many voters as possible.
Well, I'm going to organize my 2 blocks.
Yeah.
Really? I'm like, hi, you need to vote for Wendy. I hope that people are going to be weird. You know, it's so weird. People don't knock on doors no more.
No.
And people knock on your door, you're weird. Like, you hide, right? Someone knocks on your door, you hide.
That's so sad.
I knocked on a door in Eagle Rock, and there was a camera. Like, he didn't even open the door. This guy didn't even open the door, and he's like, I see you, what do you need? And I was like, hello, I'm running for Congress. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you, what's your website? Click, 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 click. I heard them clickly clacking, like, but didn't open their door.
And you're like, can you? He's like, I just made a donation later. Bye. You're like,
well, I mean, you know, you. Like sometimes when I'm at home with the kids, and like even if there's like a delivery person, I'm like, hi, okay, leave it there. You know, it's just weird. It's scary. I mean,
I know that's not good.
Yeah,
that's not good. We're losing perspective. Yeah. We're losing perspective of what a human being is.
Yeah,
and it's and becoming need, yeah
human kindness. People think
empathy,
compassion, all of that.
Let's hug each other.
Well, let's get back to our Supermama or Supermamacita.
Hey,
no, tip or pick of the week, Wendy. What is your mamacita tip for Pick of the Week?
My mamacita tip is that I am always losing my sunglasses. So I go to those stores like Ross or Marshalls.
I love Ross or Marshalls.
And I get myself like 10 pairs of glasses.
Sunglasses. Very smart.
And I just have them ready to go. I will never purchase like super expensive sunglasses because I always lose them.
I wish I could do that. Mine have prescription. And that's becomes expensive.
Yeah, that does become expensive.
But that's like a great tip.
But you can look fly. My husband does that. You can look fly on the fly, right? You just always have your sunglasses.
I know. You do. You look fab. I like those.
You like these? Yeah. These are like little wingtip right here. This is like a 50s throwback. I like
it. You look super fab.
It's like, hello, I'm running for Congress.
Yeah. Hi, can you open your door?
So that's my tip. Get yourself a lot of pairs.
I need sunscreen. Walking the streets.
Yeah. I'll go next. My tip, going back to what Wendy was saying before about showing kids struggle, I think that's something that we've talked about. My sister and I, we've been talking about like recently about how do we show our kids struggle, right? So my daughter, she's 5, as you all know or might not know. And she, one day we went to a gas station around my house, and then this damn gas station has Barbies. Okay. Mm. Like, so she comes with a Barbie and, like a game, and she was like, Mom, give me $8. And I was like, what? She was like, give me $8 because I'm going to buy this. And I was like, no, you put that back. And then I was like, I don't have $8. Yes, you do. It's in your wallet. And I was like, no. So then I was like, I got really freaked out. So I decided to, whenever she wanted something, I said, now from now on, you're going to have a little notebook where you're going to write down, and it serves two purposes. She practiced her writing and numbers and adding and all of that. And I said, you're going to put a notebook with everything that you want, and then you're going to go to your little piggy bank and see how much you have, and then buy it for yourself whenever you want to, whenever you have the money. And she said, well, how am I going to get the money? And I said, well, you're going to work. You're going to come to the restaurant, clean menus for me, shred paper. Or now, like, if I want her to take a picture for social media or something, I give her $1 per picture, you know, because she's working for me.
That's pricey, $1 per picture.
You know,
she's got her followers.
She's got, you know what I mean?
She's got her fan base, you know? She can use a picture for free.
So, like, you know, so she knows. So I was very, like, at first she didn't really understand it, but now she gets it, and she tells her friends that if she wants something, she has to work, and she hasn't asked me for anything new. So she has her notebook. She writes it down. She writes down what she wants, how much it costs. Then she hides the toy at the toy store under the shelf so nobody can take it from her because she feels like it's only one. But she told me, 2 days ago, she asked me if she could come to work after school at the restaurant. And I was like so proud of myself. And my husband was like, thank you so much for doing that. Because, you know, I really want her to understand that things don't come for free, you know. And so when you said that about your mom, I was like, yes, I'm doing something right. So that's my tip. I mean, you know, I know we want to give everything to our kids, but they have to really understand that not everything comes for free. And like you guys said, I'm very scared that she feels like she's privileged or something, you know? So, like, we just need to balance it out. Of course, I gave her, you know, I give her, but I need to balance it out. So, that's my tip.
That's beautiful. I love, when she told me that, I was like, oh my God, that's so great. I'm like, I should do that for myself. I should carry a notebook, everything I want, instead of just buying it, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard not to treat yourself.
Yeah.
Or your children.
Maybe from now on, I'll write down what I want in a little notebook. And at the end of the month, see what I can actually afford.
Yeah. And then you'll get scared of everything that you want. Yeah. And you're like, damn, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, my tip is going to be kind of, it's going to fall into the same theme. I went to a teacher-parent conference last week. And one of the things that teacher was telling me was, she asked me what chores the baby has at the house. My baby will be 2 in 2 weeks. And she was like, well, what chores does he have at home? I was like, well, his chore is to feed the dog every day. Like, that's his thing, right? And then she's like, okay, what else? And I was like, he puts his dish away. And then she's like, yeah, but those, like, the dish he's putting away for himself, that's not community-based. So, and he's 2. He'll be 2 soon. He needs to have something a little bit more complex. I was like,
wow, what's complex
and
for then, 2?
And she was like, really, feeding dog gets really old because all they're doing is just pouring. And that's all they're doing. And he needs to be setting the table. He needs to be helping you clean the table. He needs to help you sort your laundry in colors and help you put the laundry in the machine. And I was like, what? She was like, what happens is that kids boss their parents around. And, you know, my kids do, like, mom, sit here. And I go and I sit. And daddy, here, put on this song. You know, and we do, they right? Do.
Yeah, we do.
So then what happens is that they get empowered by saying, I boss this 6 foot, you know, these giants around. Like, I have that power. And you need to take that power away, but give them power and, like, I did this for the family. Mm. Like, look, I helped mommy. Like, look, I'm doing this. Like, I'm doing what mommy does. Like, I am, like, look, I'm contributing to the house. Mm-hmm. That's where he needs to get his power from, and not by telling you to sit whenever you want to sit. And I was like,
wow. Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So I was like, great. So now that's what we're doing at the house. Now we're now I'm very more conscious about the chores that need to be made. And now he's helping me put my shoes away.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, he rubs my feet.
I'm like, great. You know what? My room is always kind of messy. So now it's not even your job to clean up after me. No, not like that. But now it's like, okay, now when we get up, it's about like all of us. He helps me put all the dishes away. I hate doing dishes. But I realized that this would be a good time for us to connect. So we actually did dishes together. And he really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's sort of kind of what I learned through the conference. And I was like, cool. All right. Let's do this then.
Yeah.
And it's a way for them to feel empowered. And again, not feel like everything is given. I think because our generation, we saw how much our parents struggled, or a lot of our parents struggled so much that they didn't want to give us that struggle. But I think that the only way that we're going to be able to continue and have empathy with people and continue to feel that sort of like hunger is if we are empowered through serving rather than this is just given to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Agreed.
So
that's great. Those are great tips.
Thank you, Wendy, for coming to the show today.
Thank you for having
today.
Me.
We cannot wait to go and knock on doors for you. We will input all your information on our social media.
Yes. Don't forget to follow us at @_supermamas on Instagram and Twitter, Supermamas Podcast on Facebook, and supermamaspodcast.com on the web. Check out this episode under show notes, and we'll put all the information that Wendy shared in there if you need further information about her. And also, Wendy, where can they find you?
VoteWendyCarrillo.com. And I feel like I should have like a little section for like little kids' shirts and all that.
Yeah.
So, like, onesies, Wendy Carrillo onesies. Hell yes. And some of my friends that are moms that created their own.
Oh my gosh.
So cute. I actually just posted about it on my Instagram. So I'll show you.
Which
guys.
Is @WendyCarrillo?
Yeah, @WendyCarrillo, Twitter @WendyCarrillo, and then on Facebook, Wendy Carrillo for Congress.
Nice. And when you're president, don't forget, you better come back to the show when you're running for president.
We're going to do a live series of Super Mamas from the White House.
Oh! Nice. Well, first step is Congress, next time is the White House.
Yeah. Imagine we could do one from the congressional building.
Yes.
From the office.
Oh my gosh.
Let us
because
know.
Because why not?
Okay, there. Now you really have to win.
Oh my so god. Cute.
Okay. I need to get my baby one of those. They would need to walk the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be so cute because no one says no to kids.
Right. You need all the super mamas with the babies to come out.
When you knock on the door, you have a kid. No one's going to like not open the door for you. Right. They're going to be like, oh, she has a baby.
Right.
Aww. And if the baby She's goes harmless. Like, and then the baby hands like the pamphlet for Wendy, they're going to be like, oh.
We have to make that strategy a reality.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Wendy. And we will see you sisters next week. Super Mamas.
Super Mamas.
Super Mamas.